Okay, so John sent in and he asked, hi Tim, I have been with a health and nutrition MLM for approximately 2 years and do not have any repeat customers. Mind you, I can't say that I have been fully engaged, partially because of the fear of being rejected, I guess. As with most MLMs, you need to get customers, repeat customers, in order to get a commission check, and even more customers if you want to climb to the next level. I think I remember you saying during one of your calls, or from one of your CDs I have of yours, that you never let a newly recruited member of your organization attempt to recruit other business builders without showing them how to get customers. This has always given me trouble, so perhaps you could elaborate on how you cultivate and support a new recruit, primarily in the area of getting customers. All right, so let me explain this to you a little bit. And so I want you to just kind of picture, and I'm going to do this the best that I can without a board or some kind of an explanation for you. But on, let's say, your left hand. So if you just kind of glance over at your left hand and just say that on the left side here, I could build a vertical consumption organization. In other words, the business that you're going to build, the dynasty you're going to build, could be a vertical consumption organization. And then on your right hand, if you'll glance over to your right hand here, I could build a vertical selling organization. Okay, a vertical selling organization. Now, the emphasis that I'm putting is one is a vertical consumption, and the other one is a vertical selling. All right, let me describe to you your left hand, which is a vertical consumption organization. A vertical consumption organization is one where, and this is the way most network marketing companies have tried to build, and it goes something like this. I'm going to invite my friend to take a look at a business that he can make a lot of money with. I call my friend Kristen and I say, Kristen, I want you to come into my business, or I want you to come into a business that you can make a lot of money on. And then Kristen comes to an opportunity meeting, or I show her some videos or something like that, and in there she says, well, Tim, this sounds great. What would I do? Well, Kristen, what you're going to do is that you're going to buy a product kit. And this product kit is going to cost you, $350, $400. And in that, you're going to consume the products, and then we'll start your training. All right, so Kristen buys the product package. She starts to consume the products. And then he goes to meet with her, and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want you to make a list of 200 of your closest contacts, people who you respect, people who respect you, and then we're going to call them, and we're going to invite them to take a look at the business where they can make money. Okay. So really what happened there was, through the seduction of money, Kristen, you can make a lot of money with this. Through the seduction of money, I've invited her to basically consume the products and find others to consume the products. Okay, that is the business model. You're building a model based upon people consuming the products and getting other people in the business to consume products. There isn't any real product selling that is going on. Now, I've analyzed quite a few different compensation plans in my time, and pretty much, you're going to need about 5,000 people consuming products to make about $5,000 a month in income. And so what isn't told to Kristen, when I say, Kristen, you can make a lot of money, what isn't told to her is, Kristen, you're going to need 5,000 people. Okay, so that's the part that I don't tell her. And it's the part that probably no one in your upline ever told you either. But all you have to do is do the calculations out, and you can see how much volume that you're going to need if everyone continues to do the same. Okay? All right, so that's the left hand. I don't have a problem with that left hand as long as you don't lie to them, as long as you let them know that if you consume the products and you're already consuming these products, and if you recommend this to other people and then they consume the products, right? In other words, if you say it to them the way that it really is, then I don't have a problem with it. It's the bait and switch that I have a problem with, and you should have a problem with also. Now let's talk about this right hand a little bit. The right hand is a vertical selling organization, and the right hand is one where you go out and you talk to Kristen, and Kristen wants to make a lot of money, and you say, Kristen, I can help you make a lot of money, and here's what we're going to do. We're in a business that has a product that really helps mankind. And so first thing that I'm going to teach you how to do is to get a customer, okay? And so you're going to service customers' needs. And once you develop the ability to get customers, then what we'll do is that you can bring other people into the business and teach them how to get customers also. I was just in Costa Rica, and there were people asking me, Tim, how do you choose a network marketing company? Because most of these people were not in a company. And I would give them the criteria, and criteria number one is that the business is going to be in business next year and the year beyond, because there's nothing worse than you recommending to friends and family a business that's not going to be here. You cannot be successful in a failed company. It doesn't matter how hard you work. Okay, so number one is, does the company go long term? And number two is, does the product sell outside the network? Meaning, is there a legitimate business outside of the network for the product? If the only reason anybody is taking this product is because it drives the sales volume, then that's going to basically saturate pretty quick, right? So the product has to sell outside the network. All right, so keeping that in mind, on a vertical selling organization, you're going to bring somebody in the business, and then you're going to teach them how to get customers. How many customers? I've never really given a number to that, because I think it has to do a lot with the compensation plan. Normally, there's a certain volume that if you hit that certain volume, then you're going to get a stronger or larger commission on your downline. And so I allow that particular trigger to be there. But what I don't recommend is that a person just retail. Okay, so I don't recommend you just get customers, and keep on getting customers. Because there you're not utilizing network marketing, you're utilizing direct sales. And it's very, very inefficient for you to be in network marketing and be doing direct sales. So the kind of the requirement that I like to post up there is that number one is that I want my particular ones to be able to get $500 worth of customers, okay, because that hits a tripwire. But number two, the more important issue is that I want them to be able to get customers and have the confidence that they can get customers. Now, why do I want that one? Because when they bring the next person in the business, what are they going to teach them to do? They teach them how to get customers. And so what am I duplicating? I'm duplicating a $500 distributor. Okay? So if I teach my person to get 500 and they know how to get customers now, so they bring somebody in and they teach that person how to get 500. This isn't a one-time sale. This is reoccurring sales. And what everyone has tried to do out there with these product kits, they try to get the larger and larger and larger product kit. So they bring a person into the business, and I'm talking about the left hand here now. So they say, come in the business on this $1,000 starter kit. And then the next person, you know, come in the business on this $1,000 starter kit. And what they talk about is they're duplicating $1,000 downline. No, they're not. They're duplicating a one-time $1,000 down the line. And as soon as somebody is sitting there with $1,000 worth of products around them and says, who's going to use this stuff? If that person doesn't say, well, I will because I love this stuff. Well, now you got a problem. Okay, because if you're not going to consume $1,000 worth of this juice, then that's a problem. And more normally in those situations, they don't actually teach you how to go out there and sell the product. So that's the reason that I recommend the right-handed side, which is have a person know how to get customers. Don't have them keep getting customers. Once they're able to get whatever volume you think is requirement, it might be 15 customers, it might be $500 worth of customers, whatever it is. But they have to know how to get customers. Otherwise, when they bring in somebody into the business, if they don't know how to get customers, what in the world are they going to teach that person to do? They're going to teach that person to write a list of everybody that they know and then get them in the business. And get them in the business to do what? Consume products. And right there is where the break happens. And then from then on, it is just nothing but a consumption group. Okay? So that's the reason that you have to have people knowing how to get customers. All right. How do you get customers? Use the inviting formula. All right? Just go back through the inviting formula. You can listen to Professional Inviter again, but this time don't listen to it from the perspective of inviting someone into the business. listen to it from the perspective of inviting someone to look at a product. All right. Several people have emailed me and told me that they've already made this switch, that they realized, wow, it's the same conversation. And it is. It's the same conversation. You just create one or two lines in there, and I'll give you one or two here in just a second. All right. So I hope that I just answered John's question. I elaborated on it quite a bit. Hopefully you're able to understand that and kind of get a picture of it. Even though I wasn't able to draw this on a board and show you various different things about it, but hopefully with the left hand and the right hand, you understand the difference between a consumption organization and a selling organization. And by the way, that left hand is what regulators have a real problem with. Okay? Those organizations that use that right hand side, they don't have any problem with that. Okay? They greatly respect those, and they leave them alone in terms of regulations are concerned. And I think more and more companies would bring in that concept if they could actually figure out how to teach people how to sell, but they just don't. And again, let me reiterate, don't say that Tim said that what you've got to do is retail, retail, retail. That's not what Tim said. Tim said retail until you're able to retail well. And then recruit another and teach them how to retail well. Okay? And then teach another how to retail well. And then teach another how to retail well. Because if this whole thing is about making someone's life better, right, with the product or the business, then the first person you got to make life better is with the product yourself, right? You got to make your life better with the product. And then you help another person's life with the product. Okay,